This is me excited, by the way. Oh, I just need to pull my trousers up. I've only just started wearing these trousers again. The thing is, are we on? We're not recording this bit, are we? I need another notch. The thing was, over the last few years, I got fat. I know you don't think I looked fat, but I did. And then I tried to put these trousers on. I had them taken, because these were good quality trousers, you know, that could be taken out. And then working on Narnia with Steve for whatever it was, 4 months, 5 months, I was blooming working so hard every day. I lost about a stone in weight. And so everything's just a little bit, you know, whatever. Yeah, please pray for Carl. That's quite exciting, isn't it? The Iranian. There's so much happening, you know, amongst Iranian people in Britain. People are coming to faith and things. And so Carl and Jane have been thinking about this for a while. Today, particularly, they're going to this church. They've had some discussions. They've had some, and the church have even had some kind of small vote about it. But I think today is a crucial day when decisions need to be made. So please pray for them as the day goes on. You know, that the right things will happen. Good. Now, you know, I like to start with a little joke. And this, I'll have to give credit right at the start. This is from our friend Stuart Roberts, who you don't think of as being Mr. Joke himself, do you? I mean, let's be fair. No. But I'm glad you thought of us. Three sons left their home and they went out on their own and they prospered. They got back together again and they discussed the gifts that they were going to be able to give to their elderly mother. The first of the boys said, "I built a big house for my mum." The second one said, "I sent her a Mercedes and a driver." The third one smiled and said, "I've got you two both beat." She said, "You know our mum, she enjoyed and she loved reading the Bible. So, you know she can't see very well. So I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible." It took the elders and the leaders at their church 12 years to teach this parrot. "He's one of a kind. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse and the parrot just recites it." Soon after, the mother sent some letters out. And she said to the first boy, Milton, she said, "The house you built is so big, I only live in one room of it." The second son, Gerald he was called, she said, "Listen, I'm too old now to travel around. So the Mercedes, it just never gets used and the driver's just sitting there doing nothing." So she wrote to the third son. She said to, his name was Donald. She said, "You had the good sense to know what your mother liked." She said, "I love that chicken. It was delicious." That's a good one, isn't it? Hey? "I love that chicken. It was delicious." Just think of those leaders of the church who spent 12 years working on that thing there. Yeah, great. Okay, let's just move this to the side slightly. That's a great... have you got one of those leaflets to the... Actually, I've got one here somewhere. That kind of benediction that crops up in Romans... chapter 15. "Now may the God and the inspiration and fountain of hope fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope." That's a great idea, that, isn't it? Radiating with hope. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? At your funeral. For people to say, "You know what? He told some lousy jokes over the years, but He radiated hope. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah? He radiated hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. You can take that home with you. I'd use that prayer each day this week. Say, Lord, may your spirit continually surround my life and may I radiate hope this week. The reason why I chose that particular kind of almost prayer of Paul's in the book of Romans was because of another verse that mentions hope that I want to use as our little kind of springboard into this morning. It's in, for those of you who've got Bibles and you want to just have a quick look, it's just one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Some of you will be familiar with this already, but for others of you, it might be new. It says this, if anyone asks you about the hope living in you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. Let me read that to you again. If anyone asks about the hope that's radiating from you, obviously, if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. Now, you know over the last year and just before Christmas, we launched the vision and value documents. And a few weeks ago, I think it was the last time I spoke, I think, I mentioned that. And quite a lot of you actually took some copies of that away from the main desk. Now, if you didn't get one, and after this morning you think, you know what, I need to get a copy of that again, I've printed off some more. They're by the front door there. And this document to me and to the rest of the leadership team is really important. And I want us just to focus on this document this morning rather than sort of specific passages of the Bible. Some of you might say, well, you know, shouldn't we be reading the Bible? Well, as you read this document here, in a sense, you are reading the Bible because this is a distillation of many, many Bible passages that we looked at as a leadership team when we were trying to gather together our thoughts in terms of where are we going here? What is our focus? What is our mission? What is our vision? What are we driving towards here? What are we spending our energy on week by week? And so a lot of thought, a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion, arguments, I don't think so. Was there arguments? I don't think so much. It wasn't arguments and things. We disagreed about some things that might be priorities on here. But, you know, this is a really important document to us as leaders. And I think in terms of us as a community of faith, it's really important during this year that we get to grips with this document. Now, to try and help you do that, I'm launching a little competition today. Now, this competition might take 2 days. It might take 2 months. I'm hoping it won't take 2 years. And the competition is this. I didn't mean to say it to the younger ones before they went out. But anyway, you can tell them about it as well. But this is kind of like a competition for you guys, for everybody. It's to memorize this. Now, there is a prize. Now, I know some of you looking at that thinking, there's no way I can do that. There is. You have got good minds, all of us here, and you can memorize this thing here. Hopefully in a moment, I'm going to show you. He takes his life in his hands. I'll show you that you can memorize it. And if you can come to me, or one of the other leadership team over this next few weeks, months, and you can just sort of, you don't have to do it publicly, you don't have to stand on this stage here, but if you can go through that document, then we will give you a brand new copy of the Passion Translation. Now, you're supposed to go, yeah, a little bit more than that, really, to be honest. Yeah, that's it, that's what we want, yeah. So, over this last few months, Linda and I particularly have been using this particular translation. There are hundreds, aren't there, of translations of the Bible. But it is important that as we go through each new generation that we do read versions that, you know, will get us excited about God. And I'm not saying some of you who still read the Authorized Version can't read that and get excited about God. Please don't misunderstand me. But I just found that as I've read this particular translation, I don't know whether it's the choice of vocabulary or new phrases or new words, but, you know, just even like that one there today, you know, about this super abundance and radiating with hope. You know, it just kind of captures your imagination, doesn't it, in a slightly different way. So, that's the challenge, is to try. Now, don't try and learn it all in one go. You know, you have to learn it in little chunks. I don't know whether any of you have done any, have you memorized stuff before? You know, like actors do and things like that. They, of course, have to learn all their lines. But I find the whole process is really invigorating as well. Excuse me. Shouldn't really cough. Should I cough on this side? Away from the microphone. And if you can do that, then this brand new. It is brand new. Look, it's still got the stickers on and stuff like that. Hasn't been touched by human hand. Okay. So, and I want to just use this vision and value document this morning just to say a few things as we go through. How are we doing for time? 25 past. Yeah. So, look, I'm going to go through this now. Our vision at Hesketh Bank Christian Center, our vision is for people to encounter Jesus and find wholeness, hope, and purpose. Are we put? See, you're cheating now, aren't you? You see, because you're reading it behind here. But anyway, you can check. There might be the odd word that I kind of get wrong as we go through. So our vision is for people. Now, you see, I'm not going to keep stopping and starting, but already, when I start to try and memorize this and I go through in my mind, I look at it and I go, our vision is for people. Already, you know, I think vision, my focus, I start to see this kind of thing. Our vision is for people. I think, that's right, it's people, isn't it? It's not about programs. It's not about rotas. It's not about, you know, just the money and the giving and the fabric and the furniture and new roofs and stuff like that. All are important, but what is our focus? What is our vision? And it's got to be people, hasn't it? Is that right? If we get just caught up in all the other stuff and that becomes our primary vision focus, then we're on a loser to start with. So as you start to kind of chew, which is what we're doing, we're just chewing these words over in our minds as we try and commit them to memory. You know, our vision is for people to encounter Jesus. I like that already. You know, our vision isn't just to bring people into, you know, a religion, a set of rules, a set of regulations, a way and lifestyle of living. It's about encountering the person himself of Jesus, isn't it? You see that? You know, people say, you know, what's your main thing? I mean, what I've done here, you see, look, what I want you to do is just imagine you're in booths. Somebody you've just met, might be a contact you've had in the village for years, might be an old friend. They're not necessarily part of our community here and our contact, but you're sitting down and you're meeting them and you're having a coffee and a glass of water, hopefully, for your cough. And you're chatting away to them. And they say, well, what are you doing now? And this happens to me quite often at the moment, because obviously some of you will know, but I used to be a teacher at the local high school here for many years. You know, so I know a lot of people in the village. I probably taught most of people who work in booths, certainly the younger ones. And if I didn't, then I probably taught their children, people who work there. So quite often, you know, what are you doing now? How's retirement? That's always a good one, isn't it? You know. How's retirement? You think, oh yeah, the chance would be a fine thing, yeah. But so you chair, well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm doing a bit of work at the church, just working part time at the church as one of the pastors there. And they, oh really? Well, and they, you know, you get chatting to them. So well, you know, you're talking to them. Imagine they say to you, well, you know, what kind of church is it then? What do you believe there? What are you about? What's your kind of primary focus? What do I say to them? Say, well, you know, we've got good youth work. We've got, you know, we've got peeps going on. We have lots, hundreds of people coming through with peeps each week. You know, we've got a lunch meeting, a lunch club, dinner at the center, and that's good for people, and we're starting this and stuff. You know, you could go on about all these different programs and all the different things that we're doing, which is great because it's about people, and we just said that people are important, isn't it? Our vision is people. But, you know, there's lots of things in society that is all about people, isn't there? The British Legion is all about people. The Women's Institute is all about people, isn't it? Surely there's got to be something distinctive about our community here, is that right? Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus, to have a living relationship and a meaningful experience with him, is that right? That's got to be the heart and soul of what we're doing. Now that might look different in quite a few different ways, but that has got to be our primary focus and our primary vision. Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus and find wholeness. What does that include? You know, you're chatting to your friend here and they say, oh, what, wholeness, what does that mean? Does it mean healing? Does it mean forgiveness? Does it mean restoration of friendships and relationships that have maybe broken down over the years? It can mean all manner of things. It's that whole almost Hebraic concept of that Stuart was talking about a few weeks ago of shalom, this idea of harmony, of well-being in your life. Wholeness, hope, and purpose. To be empowered to make a difference in the world. That's what we want to do, don't we? All of us, I think, deep down, you have that longing, don't you, that you think, my life needs to count for something. I don't want to just go through 50, 60, 70, 80 years and think, what was that all about? You want to feel as though your life has made a difference, don't you? Either in your children's lives that you've brought up, or in your other relationships and family, in the community where we live. Some people in the world make tremendous impact on society, don't they? Now, we're not all going to be the Richard Bransons of this world. We're not all going to be the Einsteins of this world. But wherever we are in our own community and context, we can make a difference. But we need the power of God to do that. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to make that difference in our communities. Next slide, Dan. Next couple of slides coming up. To love God, to love people, to love all God loves. Now, as we've said in terms of that last one there, when you read in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. It's much bigger than just people. That word there is cosmos. So should we as Christians be interested in the planet? Yes, of course we should. Should we be interested in recycling? Should we be interested in all of these other things? Of course we should be. We should love God, love people, and love all that God loves too. He made this lovely world in which we live. So already your brain is starting to think, well, how does that look for me in terms of my life and what I do? To live out and share the generous good news of Jesus. What's number five? To be a loving and caring community, open to all people. That's important, that we're open to all people. To share in the struggles. No, to support one another in the struggles, joys, struggles, and responsibilities of our everyday lives. And the last one on this page, to work with others. That's important too. We're not just whistling on our own. We're working with other people. We have an attitude where we want to work with others. Linda's been saying a lot recently about our desire to partner with, you know, the other faith communities in our area, the Methodist churches, the Anglican churches, you know, that we partner together to work with others in, how does it say it there? Don't tell me. To work with others in building a safe, thriving, and inspiring local area. That's good. I like that. Do you like that one? That's good, isn't it? You know, so already just committing it into my spirit and into my mind and things, you start to chew it over. You start to think, well, what does that look like then? And a few weeks ago, we talked about some of these things, didn't we? About maybe, you know, the whole ideas of what you can do in the community, different ways that you can involve your faith and your life and this experience of Jesus in the community. How does making our villages of Hesketh, Bank and Tartan, how do we make them thrive? How do we make them safe places? Really important. Now, some of you are involved in local schools. Some of you are involved in local councils. We've got councillors here. Some of you are involved as parent governors in local schools. They're all really great ways of helping the community thrive. But open your mind up to things. Just think, what am I interested in? What can I get involved in the local community to make it thrive? Now, the second page is a bit more difficult. Well, where are we up to, Dan, now? What's this one? We believe. We believe that we are created for a relationship with God, who inspires and communicates with us in various ways, through the Bible, through creation, through prayer, through the Spirit, and through each other. Don't forget that. We can help each other learn about life and grow, and particularly when we come to make really important decisions. That's why Carl and Jane have been talking to us. That's why Steve was on the phone to them last night. That's why I had a chat to Carl a couple of weeks ago, because when you're making big, huge decisions that affect your family and your life and the next few years of your life, it's good to talk with other people, isn't it? And say, look, I feel as though this is something God's been speaking to me about. What do you think? You think I'm just off my head here? Or do you think there's something in this? So we need each other for that inspiration and for that communication of how we move forward so often. We're called to follow and serve Jesus every day and to reflect. I like that word there, to reflect this in every part of our lives. We believe that we are all made in the image of God. Yeah? We believe that we are all made in the image of God, who loves everyone without exception. Too much of our world is about the us and them, isn't it? It's about me and my little group, and we don't like them and that little group. You know, we don't see eye to eye about all these different things. There's so much splintering and so much division. God loves everyone. Now you need to think of the implications of that. It's not just God loves our little group here. God loves everyone without exception. And he wants us to be community together, just as he is God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That community is important. Now, I've missed a little bit out there. This is the bit that I always just miss out. Hang on. We believe that we are all made in the image of God, who loves everyone without exception. No, that's right. And that we are to be community together, just as God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We place a high value on church as family. Is that right? Church as a family. Remember, I've only had a week to do this, so, you know, since I decided to run this little competition. We believe in, we place a high value on church as a family, on friendship, and on making everyone welcome. And, that's it. On making everyone welcome, yeah. Our aim is to support, encourage, and care. SEC. If you can't remember the order of those, just remember SEC. You go, wait a sec. SEC. Our aim is to, what did I just say then? I've just forgotten it. Our aim is to, what's that first word, S? Support, that's the one. Support, encourage, and care for people on their journey of belonging, believing, and becoming. I like that order. It's not always that order. Sometimes people just believe and then they start belonging to a faith community. But quite often people come in on the edges and on the fringes and they start to belong before they start to go on that journey of faith. Have you found that? Belonging, believing, and then becoming what God has got in store for them, and what he's planned. And then the third one, final one. We believe in the goodness of God. Now, I don't know whether you're picking this up over these last few months with some of the songs and stuff, but this is very important. We believe in the goodness of God, who calls each of us to be transformed and to partner. I love that word, partner. It crops up a lot in this new Passion Translation, actually, this whole idea of working together, like we said before, partnering with people. He calls us to partner in the transformation of society. Wait for me. The cogs are just getting into to go here. The transformation of society. To share in the responsibility. No, hang on, wait. That's the next bit. Let me just go back. We believe in the goodness of God who calls us to be transformed and to partner in the transformation of society, displaying the character and nature, God's character and nature revealed through the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Is that right? Something like that, anyway, along there. We want to see everyone flourishing. I love that word. Do you like that? That kind of idea of a flower. It's just this time of year, isn't it? The little snowdrops are coming through. The daffodils are coming through. This flourishing, this you know, growth. We want to see everyone flourishing. We want to see everybody flowering like that. We want to see everyone flourishing in both their natural and spiritual gifts. And some of us have many natural gifts. But we all have gifts. We all have something. We sang that song again, which is really important that we're doing at the moment. Take all I have in these hands and multiply them. Some of you might only be good at making a brew, but you make the best brew in Tartan and Hesketh Bank. So you need to be coming along to Peeps and helping Jan, because that's your gift. It's not, oh, I only make tea and I can only do this. If you can smile and make a good brew, you are crucial to the work of Peeps. Do you realize that? You are. You know, so often in our churches, you kind of look at the people who are on the stage and people like me and Steve and Linda and Johnny and the thing, you think, oh, I can't do that. Oh, no. Does that mean you've got nothing to offer? No, of course not. You just offer what you've got. It might just be five loaves and a couple of fishes in your bag, that Jesus can do an amazing miracle with that. Can't he? Don't keep saying, I haven't got anything to offer. Don't keep putting yourself down. Just bring what you've got and say, Lord, take it. You know, fan it into flame. Make it bigger. Yeah, come on. But, you know, let's offer what we've got. Where did I get up to now? I've lost my track of thought here. Just wait. Yeah, that's the flourishing. We want to see everyone flourishing in both their natural and spiritual gifts. And when you become a Christian, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and transforms your life, he gives you gifts. He does. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, I haven't got a clue what my gifts are, then you need to chat to some people. And I'll tell you another way of finding out what your gifts are is just get involved. Sometimes it's just a question of getting up, trying stuff out and thinking, I enjoyed that. I tell you what, if you do something and you think, you know what, I enjoyed that, don't feel guilty. What it is it's God's pleasure on your life. It's God saying to you, you're good at that. Now that's what I want you to be getting on and doing. We often think, you know, somehow if we enjoy what we're doing, somehow it must be wrong. No. Doesn't work like that. If you find pleasure in things, that's often a sign that that is a gift that you've got and you need to just be using it more. We want to see everyone flourishing in both their natural and spiritual gifts, to share responsibility for and be involved in the life of the church. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here now, but be honest with yourself now. Can you say, that's me today? You can honestly say, I share that responsibility for this community here. I bear that weight. I feel that pressure. I feel that responsibility that I'm part of this community here and I need to be involved. Can you honestly do that this morning? If you can't, then that's fine, but you just need to think carefully about that. Because we're not just about coming and sitting on seats, are we? One of the biggest bugbears I have over the last, I've been involved in church about 475 years now. And, well, it feels like that sometimes. I can't be doing with people who, you know, you meet people and you say, well, what are you doing at the moment? And you might have heard them going to a certain church or something like that. You know, oh, yeah, you were going to that other church, weren't you? And they go, yeah, I was going there. But I was getting nothing out of it. I just wasn't getting anything out of it. I was going each week and I was getting nothing out of it. And I just want to smack them in the mouth. In a very kind way. What does it say? No, it says somewhere. No. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. Be ready to explain your faith, but with gentleness and respect. You have to remember that when you want to smack them in your mouth, don't you? But I do want to just get hold of them and say, wake up. Church is not about what you can get out of it, is it? God is a God who gives. He loves to give. And so if we're going to reflect the nature and character of God, our lives are about giving. They're not about consuming. We live in a world where we're surrounded by consumerism. And it is really hard to fight against that. But what has got to characterize our lives is service, is being a servant. Jesus came not to lord it over everybody, but to serve, didn't he? So when you're talking to these friends and stuff, you can challenge them sometimes and say, well, listen, friend, you know, is that really the best attitude to have? I tell you what, those kind of people, and I've met many of them over the years, in the end, you meet them 10 years later and you say, where are you going now? And they say, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Yeah, we couldn't find anywhere perfect enough for us. That's what they really mean, isn't it? If you go down that route, that's what you'll end up with. You won't go to anywhere in 5 or 10 years' time because you'll never find a church that is meeting your needs because that's all you're going for. We all have needs. We do. And we want to create a caring community where we support each other. That we know that already. But you see what I'm saying? It's not your primary focus. Your primary focus is giving, is serving. Now, where are we up to? To share responsibility for and be involved in the life of the church. Open. Open to innovative. Try saying that word quickly. Go on. Yeah, you have to just be careful. If you've got false teeth particularly, you just have to be careful at that point there. It's not an easy word to say. Open to innovative. Fresh. New. Little sparks. Oh, that's a good idea. Open to innovative ways of embodying the good news of Jesus in a rapidly changing world. We live in a world that is changing fast. And it's really important that every generation, well, however long a generation is now, whatever the current thinking in sociology is 10, 12, 15 years or whatever, but every generation, we are changing so fast, not just in technology, but in the way we deal with people. Is that good? It is good. It's good. Because basically, it's this. It's just been distilled. Now, you know, we're not saying everything on that screen is you know, it's not a perfect document. We're not saying that. But it's a work in progress. It's a working document that we're finding helpful as a leadership team. So when we think of things and we think, okay, we've got this program here. You know, what about Narnia? Is that a good idea? Well, where does it fit into this? Where does Narnia fit into this? Just think for a moment. Just think about all those things that we've just talked about there. Where would something like a project like Narnia fit in to our statements that we've just made there? Just answer it in your own mind. It's no right or wrong. It's just some of you might read a statement there and think, you know what? Yeah, that's Narnia, that. Where does Peeps and all that energy that goes into Peeps week in and week out, where does it fit into this? Impact Mini, the hub, Who Let the Dads Out, Women's World Day of Prayer on Friday. But where does it fit into this? I'll tell you what, because if it's not fitting into this, we need to scrap it. No matter what people say, let's just boot it into touch. We've got plenty of other things to be getting on with, haven't we? Where does Alpha fit into this? See what I'm saying? And for me, that process, as you can see, by the way, thank you for the applause at the end there when I've actually completed the thing. All right, okay. You thought there might be, you see, you see, if you've been studying this over the last couple of months, Linda, you would know that that was the end there, wouldn't you? So, they're available. Some of you have got them at home. You put them under the coffee cup. They're under, tucked under last week's copy of the Daily Telegraph or whatever. And they're there still. Get it out. See if you can memorize it. It's actually taken me probably about 10 days. Just 10 minutes a day. I haven't been doing it every, you know. But the thing is, in our house at the moment, of course, children wake up during the night and stuff. And like last night, I just couldn't get to sleep. It was 3 o'clock, I think, when the children woke us up. And you know, I'm thinking, well, how do I get back to sleep? I know. I'll go through the vision and value documents. I'll tell you what, bang, you're away pretty quickly, apart from last night. Now, I don't know whether it was because I was thinking of this morning, you know, your mind's thinking, I know what I want to talk about. I know what I want to sort of express. How do I do that? What's the best way of doing that and things? And so I was probably overthinking things. But certainly that, you know, when I have a few moments, you might be traveling on a bus somewhere. You might be just waiting at the doctor's, at the dentist. You got 10 minutes. Just go through it in your mind. Just go through that first paragraph. Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus. Just go through it and just learn it in little chunks. Maybe this next couple of weeks, you just learn that first page. Yeah? Another little tip just as well. When you think you've committed it to memory, just try and write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper. That helps you focus as well. And just, it'll, you know. And then this is the tricky one, is get somebody in your family, or if you live with somebody, just say, can I just try? That's when the nerves start to kick in and it starts to go a little bit awry. How are we doing for time? 10:02. So we're just coming into land now. So back to where we were before, you see. I think that process of doing what I've just asked you to do feels like Mission Impossible, doesn't it? If you wish to choose to accept this mission, I think it will help you when you're in booths and you're sitting there and you meet somebody and they say to you, you know, and well, let's say they ask you some other questions. That's right. That was the other thing I was going to say. You know, sometimes nowadays, particularly, they might say, well, I've just been reading in the paper about the Church of England, you know, with the new women bishops. And they say, well, what does your church do about women? We love them. Yeah, but you know, good. You go to some churches and you would never get anybody standing at the front and certainly not on the platform speaking if you're a woman. Is that right? Now here, in our community of faith here, our leadership team is very, very committed to everybody taking part. We, you know, it's not a men-only club. But if they push you a little bit further and say, well, why do you believe that? Why is your church, why do you do that? Would you have somewhere to go with that? Would you kind of be able to turn to bits of the Bible? And, you know, because they could probably turn to a couple of little passages and say, look, it says here women shouldn't speak. Well, you see, that's a question then of how well you know your Bible, isn't it? In terms of do you know the context that was written in? Do you know what was going on at the time there 2,000 years ago? Can you explain your faith in that way? And there's going to be lots of other difficult questions, isn't there, that come. You know, they might even say, well, look, I just found out my dad's, you know, got got a problem, and you know he's very, very poorly and stuff. And you say, well, and they say, well, all this suffering in the world. How can you believe in a God of love? And there's all this suffering still. Where do you go with questions like that about your faith? Richard, a few months ago, wasn't he, just was talking about people who, you know, people who have other faiths, people who are Buddhist or Islam, Muslim faith and stuff. Where do we stand on all those kind of things and stuff? See, many of us who've been involved in church for the 475 years like me, you've imbibed and you've got stories and you've got a narrative that you work into about things. But if push comes to shove, do I really know why I hold to certain things? Can I explain my faith that way? If anyone asks you about the hope within you, always be ready to explain your faith. I think if you go on this little journey of starting to learn these things here, it will give you at least a platform to then start that journey. One of the ideas that we've had, somebody mentioned it a few weeks ago, and I don't know what you think, maybe every couple of months, maybe every 3 months, to have, for want of a better word, a question time kind of evening, where we can just come and have a coffee together and spitball some of these things. What do you think? You know, about, there's so many issues, isn't there, out there that we face each day. How do we face them as Christians? How do we think through those issues? And maybe to have some kind of panel or something, you know, and you know, you can sort of send some questions in advance. How many people would be up for just something like that, maybe every, okay, well, let's do that. There's quite a lot of you, 50% at least of you, and the others of you thinking, I think that was a good idea. We mustn't be frightened of asking questions. We must not be frightened of asking questions, because that's what everybody will do when we meet them in booths. And so we need to think through those questions ourselves. We need to be able to know why we've got this hope inside of us, how to explain our faith, but with gentleness and respect. Not winning an argument. I've said this before. You can win an argument and lose a friend. We're not in the business of trying to win arguments. But we are, hopefully, wanting to grow in confidence that we can explain our faith, can't we? With gentleness and respect for the other people that we're dealing with. Yes? So, come on, nail your colours to the mark. How many people are going to have a little go at this competition here? One. Good. Two. Three. Look, this, I'm not joking. This is a fantastic prize. Yeah? I can't remember how much we paid for it. In America, it's $30 anyway. So, hey, that's not a bad little prize, is it? If you can only do the first page, we'll rip the New Testament out and give you that. Just help me here, actually. What I was going to suggest to the children, the under 18s, 18 and unders, do you think they would be able to learn that? Just that first page? Is that being a little bit too unrealistic, Janine? Eh? I think they might be able to do more. Anyway, I'll mention that to them next week. I might get another little prize for them just to see if they can do that first page. Let's leave it there, Johnny. We won't do another song there. But anyway, thank you for listening so well. Are you on tea and coffee, Margaret? Are you? I saw you hustling there and I thought, yeah. Is that like a little, come on, Mark, get on with it. Let's finish. Yeah, our vision. So let's just, let's stand together. We'll just close with that prayer that we started with as well. I mean, if you've got it with you, if you've got your little notice sheet, just get it there. Let's pray this together. And maybe use it each day this week, just in terms of your daily devotions. So let's read this if you've got it with you. If not, don't worry. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Father, we thank you for each other. We thank you for our community here. We pray that, Lord, as we continue to grow, as we develop in our natural and spiritual gifts, Lord, help us, each of us, to take responsibility and to share in that burden of this work in this village where we live here. And help us to develop those skills and abilities and to develop our awareness of what we believe so that we can explain our faith with respect and with gentleness, we pray. We want to see in all that we're doing here, people encountering the lovely Lord Jesus and him to transform and to change their lives, we pray. We pray that this week, Lord, in the things that we do here in our lives day by day and in our families and our workplace, Lord, we would just be agents of that transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.